Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
Now, the apostles and their believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from the heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked up at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and the birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me as we entered the man's house. He told us how we had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is also called Peter, who will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of God, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you were baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God had given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Steve. And thank you for having me again. It's great to be with you on this holiday weekend. It's a gift always to be able to sort of go through the spiritual practice of preparing and the opportunity to share this with you. I do think that this morning's message from Acts chapter 11 is probably a bit of a remedial or review message for the church like us today. However, fact of the matter is, as we encounter a scripture that reminds us that God's love is for everyone, we also live in a world where things get strict and lines get drawn, and we're challenged at every turn to ask questions like, "Is this for us or for them? Or is it not for us and not for them?" Outside these walls, that's the question that we face constantly. And so inside these walls, let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds as we remember that, yes, even the good news has come for the Gentiles. Speaking of Gentiles, last time I was here, I told my favorite story about Duke, which was the way you know someone went to Duke is so easy, they tell you. And so I'll move on to Duke's other favorite thing to talk about, which is basketball. Lately, my hockey teams and my basketball teams have been really letting me down. But as you sort of are aware, Cameron Indoor Stadium is not the biggest stadium in the world, and getting a Duke basketball ticket can be very coveted. There were times when people will offer me opportunities to go here or there, and it's like, "Well, you know, I got something going, I can't make it." But every time a church member would call me and say, I've got Duke basketball tickets," everything would get canceled, and we would go. Now, when you're a student, as you know, it's well advertised. Students have to camp out for certain games, and all those kids that you see in the stadium have been waiting in line for a while. And usually you know you're going to get into the game when it's you know, because you have a ticket. But there's a little loophole called the walk-up line. And what happens with the walk-up line is that about 15 minutes before the game starts, they get all the students to squish together, and they figure out how much space they have left. And 10 or 15 people at a time, they let small groups in to sit kind of in the corners to fill up all the empty seats below the rail, of course. Now, I did the walk-up line a handful of times when I had a student ID, and each time I did the walk-up line, I was able to get in, because it turns out, during the first week of January, not a lot of people want to watch Duke play Pitt on a Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. But that didn't change the anxiety of wondering if this exercise of driving to campus, getting the ID, and standing in line was going to work itself out, and realizing there was a spot for me. Every single time I did it, I got a seat. But every single time I did it, I was anxious that there wouldn't be room for me. That anxiety of wondering, like, am I going to be included? Is there going to be space? It's natural for us. I think even if you're holding a ticket to a Taylor Swift concert, the anxiety, the anticipation, the like, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? It consumes you. But the good news about the gospel is that it's okay, there's room for us. You see, but the thing is, in life, there's not enough sometimes. In capitalism or in this world where we live, the idea that there's scarcity, that's only a limited amount, a limited edition, a limited time run, these are the things that others outside use to help us feel special or exclusive if we manage to be included. The invitation of the good news is the opposite of that. The invitation of the good news is there is room for everyone. Something that's been affirmed this morning, and something we must remind ourselves over and over and over again. It's really a theme of the book of Acts, because as we know, Acts begins after the resurrection. And really, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is ascending into heaven again. Luke tells this story one more time. And the whole book of Acts is really framed in kind of two ways. The first is this Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. You will be the ones who tell the story of what I'm doing. And then in Acts chapter 2, we see that at Pentecost, everyone who's gathered hears the word of God in their own voice, in their own tongue, in their own way. It is clear to them that, yes, the good news is expanding beyond this small group of folks who were able to live and move and have their being with Jesus while he was walking around sort of Jerusalem and Judea and all the places where he walked. As we listen to these stories over and over and over again, there's like a reach, like a little bit of an expansion, and there's celebration, and then there's pushback also. Because there's some who don't want to see this good news spread. The storytellers from the temple who are helping to grow the community of faith are put in jail and said, you can leave, but don't talk about it. And they say, we can't help but talk about what we've seen and experienced. Stephen is advocating for the expansion of the good news. And then he, of course, right after he was elected deacon, becomes the first martyr. I don't know if that's parable or not. Usually it's not. Thank you, John. Ultimately, there is a religious establishment at play that is suspect of the expanding good news, that is suspect of the reality that the invitation might possibly be for everybody. And there was an establishment that was there that knew or felt like God's love was for them, but they weren't sure if God's love was really for everybody, despite Jesus saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." It's as if this religious establishments were ticket takers in a small arena, trying to pick and choose who got in and who didn't based on the rules they wanted to play by. And that's a little bit of the tenor that we reach when we get to chapter 11 of Acts. You see, in the previous chapter, Peter had had this dream, and he goes to Cornelius, the Roman, and he's told, look, you got to go ahead and share the good news with Cornelius too. And so he's like, initially, Peter's thinking, I can't do that. This isn't really for them. And that yet in the dream, he realizes, no, the dream is a parable. The good news is for all of them. So I have to tell it. And then everybody in his house gets baptized. But then news gets back to the establishment in Jerusalem, who call Peter into the principal's office to say, okay, you're going to have to tell us about what it is that's been going on. And in his speech, Peter gives context to the fact that the Spirit of God had been moving among him and inviting others into the love of God by him telling his testimony of God's presence with them. Peter describes how the Spirit had been working and how, according to God's Spirit, the love of God demanded a generous invitation to any and all who would receive it. Salvation was not exclusive, but really it was kind of like the more the merrier. It was build a bigger basketball stadium so everybody can come and see. And thankfully, in this time and in this space and in this council gathering, that good word resonates. That the Spirit is beginning to reach into places that might surprise us, but God is at work there. That the Spirit is reaching into places that maybe we had thought were unreachable, but God is going to work there. And the Spirit that was alive and at work in the apostles is reaching some folks that we thought might not be able to be reached. And so they say, thanks be to God that the Spirit reaches beyond our limited point of view. We don't know how to bring it there, but someone will. And so thanks be to God that the Spirit and the love of God is going to reach all the way from Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond Samaria and into the ends of the earth. And as we turn the page in Acts, Paul takes the scene and begins those journeys we remember from the maps in our childhood Bibles to tell the story beyond, beyond, beyond. This is a passage for us to remember, to be reminded, to be reviewed again and again, not because we've forgotten it, but because we need to remember it again. Because beyond these walls, what the challenge is going to be for us is maybe there's not enough. Maybe there's not enough space. Maybe there's not enough seats in the stadium. Maybe there's not enough food at the grocery store. Maybe there's not enough. And what we believe about God is that there is enough. God's love is enough, and there's enough of God's love for everyone. So do we believe that? Do we remember that? Are we forming ourselves in such a way as to offer a generous invitation for others into that? And can we discern how God is calling us to love the world, starting with the world that we live in right here in the 919? You see, Acts chapter 11 affirms the expansion of the good news, and it affirms that that which we thought was limited is not, and it affirms that God's love is even for people that we're not sure how we're going to reach them with a grace and love, but it affirms that salvation is abundant and generous, not limited and scarce. And in a world that sometimes gets that way, we need to remember that. In a world that is often far too scarce, we need to remember that God's love is abundant. And the only way that the abundant love gets hard for us is when we allow exclusivity to become pervasive in this area of our life, rather than remembering this is the area of our life in which we must be most generous. Because God is different from Duke basketball tickets. God invites us to reach. God so loves the world. And in Acts chapter 11, the Jews, the religious leaders at the time see this and praise God because the good news has come even to the Gentiles. I'm going to close with a little formative story from my teenage life. I was a ninth grader when I looked around the locker room and realized that at 5'4", 140 pounds, God had not blessed me to be a Texas high school football player. And so I left the football team and I joined the cross country team and was a part of the band of misfits, which were the runners in the short shorts early in the morning before it got too hot. And in the 90s, that company, Nike, was doing all it could to sell products to us, like they still do. And their marketing company had come up with a campaign to sell running to people that went a little bit like this. It said there were clubs you can't belong to, neighborhoods you couldn't live in, and schools you can't get into, but the roads are always open. To a bunch of high school runners who weren't as cool as the cool kids playing football in the fall. It resonated with us. Yeah, this was for everybody. Yeah, fill up 3 buses to take to the cross country meet. Yeah, we're the misfits, but everyone is welcome. And each time I think about the good news of Acts chapter 11, I'm reminded of a spirit like that that says there are people who will want to leave us out. There are places we may not be able to go. And there are things that we might not be able to do, but we must remember that the love of God is open for all, and the family of God is at work within us and within our neighbors and friends and other congregations throughout the world to share that love. A love that is affirmed in Acts chapter 11 because faith is now open for everyone. The good news reaches beyond Jerusalem and Judea into the ends of the earth, and this is God's generous love at work in us and through us and among us. God welcomes us all. And today, I believe that the prayer for us is to remember that our God is a generous God. And that a generous God who will embody within us a spirit to share that love of generosity and care, that love of support, and the willingness to embrace even those who we might not imagine could get a ticket to the show. May we have an open mind and an open heart to offer that as God calls. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this day and for the opportunity to be gathered and to be challenged and hopefully encouraged that we are instruments of your love and peace. And so our job is not to draw lines or to cast judgment. Our job is not to decide who is in or out. Our job is not even to worry about how it will all sort out. Our job is to love. And so, Lord, today grant us wisdom and courage to embody your love for this day and for the days that lie ahead. It's in your name we pray these things. Amen.